Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Today is a wonderful day. I'm so glad my family's here celebrating with me. I'm going to take his jacket off because it is hot up here, isn't it, Lane? Whoo! Hot, and this mic is hot. Praise God. Glory to God. All right, I feel better now. Whew. I feel good. Look, we've been talking about what? Joy. Praise God. Some of y'all were awake last week and the week before. We're talking about joy. Amen. And I just want to lay the foundation again for what we've been talking about here the last 2 weeks. And we're going to do it again this week. Somebody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got the joy. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Yeah, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart today, or stay, or day, or stay, whichever one you want. Romans 14, all right, are y'all there? I didn't tell you to turn there yet. Romans chapter 14 is where we're going to start. This is a foundational scripture that we've been going over every week. Romans 14 and verse 17 says this. And I'm going to read it out of the King James, I believe. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not a physical thing. Remember, we talked about they were looking for Jesus to bring back the physical kingdom and set himself up as king, right? But what did he say? The kingdom of God is inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. And we define joy as that glorious and triumphant state that is within you, right? So if the kingdom of God is within you, then joy is within you. If joy, as we just read, is in the Holy Spirit. Because we know that when we're born again, right, the Holy Spirit comes and sets up residence inside of us. So if it's joy in the Holy Spirit, then joy must be inside of us. We talked about this. This is a real refresher course here. So man, you can be, it's one thing you can be full of and it'd be all right. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Some of y'all worldly people get that right away. Some of y'all that got spouses might get that earlier. All right, y'all, I'm just leaving it alone. What is joy? What is joy? We define it as fulfillment or happiness despite our circumstances, right? Happiness, we rely on our circumstances to make us happy, don't we? I mean, I'd be happy if I had enough money in the bank. I'd be happy if I had a bigger house. I'd be happy if I had groceries in the refrigerator. I'd be happy if my kids didn't run around scream all day at me. I'd be happy. I'd be happy if. I'd be happy if. I'd be happy if my spouse didn't get on to me all the time. Happiness is defined by things around us, physical things around us, to make us happy. But joy is something much more. Joy is that thing that bubbles up on the inside of us regardless of our circumstances. Regardless of how much money you have. Regardless of how bad your job is. Regardless of, you know, how ugly somebody treated you that morning. Regardless of your drive into work that day. You can have joy regardless or in spite of your circumstances. Amen? Because what does Jesus say in John chapter 15? We read this as well. So I'm going to read it right off my notes. Verse 10, you don't have to turn there. It says, if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in His love, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So what we can glean from that is in obeying there is love, and in love, there is joy. Amen? In obeying what Jesus said, in obeying His words, in obeying His commandments, there is love. He said it. And in love, there is great joy, right? and not any joy, but full measure, complete, and overflowing joy is what the word says. Full measure, complete, and overflowing joy. And then we looked at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, talking, that's the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the nine fruits of the Spirit, and joy being one of those fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as a fruit of the Spirit, again, if the Holy Spirit is in us, and joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, then joy must be in us. I'm getting to a point here. Joy is in us. It's inherent inside of us if we have the Holy Spirit. And if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Therefore, you have joy inside of you. Amen? Amen. Is that a circular argument? No, that's some. I forget from philosophy what kind of argument. If then, maybe? Yeah, it's an if then argument. That's what it is. And if then, if you're born again, then you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, then you have joy inside of you. Does that make more sense? Excuse me. And then I gave the example of the tree, right? Of if you want good fruit from a tree. My dad doesn't understand this because when he prunes a tree, I think I got my pruning skills from him. We take and whack away. How many trees you got left in the yard, Mom? Not many. I told y'all about my peach tree last week and how I just started whacking on that thing and ended up having to cut it down, and then my pear tree as well. And so, but anyways, what we're talking about is fruit that we need to prune. We need to prune ourselves. Okay, the tree is the example. When you have a fruit tree and you prune it correctly, what does it do? Produces more, better quality fruit, right? If you are the tree, you need to prune yourself so that you can produce better quality fruit and more abundance of it. Amen? So what does that look like? What does it look like? What do you mean prune ourselves? Well, anything, I could say it this way, anything that is negatively impacting your relationship with God needs to be pruned. Amen? What could that be? I don't know. It's different for every person. You know, it could be a distraction that's happening in your life. You got to say, snip, prune that distraction. It could be something stealing your time with the Lord. You got to say, snip. Prune that. Amen? It might be relationships, ungodly relationships that are influencing you instead of you influencing them. Sometimes you got to say snip and prune that relationship so that you can have better fruit. Amen? And when we do that, how do we do it? By obeying the words of Jesus and being led by the Spirit of God. And when we do that, when we prune those things out of our life, you see your relationship with God growing, and that fruit bearing. Amen? This is all just review. This is what we've talked about. And then we said in Psalm chapter 16, we read in verse 11, it says, "You will show me the path of life in your presence." In God's presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Right? And I gave you a phrase to remember. Does anybody remember it? Two words. Oh, Lord, I knew it. Yes! Who said that? You get a hug. You get a hug, Tina, for remembering. Obey and abide. When we obey the words of Jesus and we abide in His love, there's fullness of joy. Right? That's what we talked about. Obey and abide. Obey and abide. Obey and abide. We talked about Pig Latin, didn't we? Obey and abide. I sent somebody a message, and one of my favorite, and I think because it was the first musical I had seen out at the Swift Creek Mill Playhouse there in Richmond. I think it was called Guys and Dolls. Isn't that? I may have told y'all this before, but Guys and Dolls. And one of my favorite lines out of that is they're singing, right? And they're, I think one of them is singing to their lover or whatever they were, companion. You're wonderful. It's marvelous. Have y'all heard that or seen it? Okay, well, hey, you know something new. But I sent a text. Someone said, you're wonderful and you're marvelous. And they said, I thought you were going to say I was wonderful way and arvelous may. Because we talked about Pig Latin. Y'all that know Pig Latin will understand that as well. Amen. Y'all got me off track. The kingdom of God inside. So joy is inside. Amen. So now that we know that joy is within us, I mean, over these 2.5 Sundays, have you gotten the revelation, I should say, that joy is inside of you and the reason why it's inside of us? Well, if we know that joy is within us, listen to this. If I have proven in this short time that joy is within you, then I have proven that divine health is in you. I have proven that prosperity is in you. Amen? I'm giving you the truth here. These are things that we don't have. Listen to this. This is important. I got a revelation of this. I can't remember where I heard it. This, if you will take one thing away from here today, one thing. We always say one word from God can change your life forever. If you will take one thing away from here today, this is what I want you to take away. Those things that I just mentioned, joy, healing, health, prosperity that are within you. These are things that we don't have to try and get from God, but rather we already possess them. We don't have to try and get those things from God. We don't have to pray to God and beg God for healing. We don't have to pray and beg for prosperity. We don't have to pray and beg for joy. We don't have to pray and beg for peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, or some of you, self-control. You don't have to pray and beg God for those. He's placed them inside of you when you received His Holy Spirit. Because if those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the one that indwells you, then they are inherently inside of you. So there are things that we don't have to try and get from God. We don't have to get those things. He's given them to us when He sent His Son Jesus to the cross. And He shed His blood and He died for you and me. He sent another. He sent the Comforter, our Advocate, our Standby, the Holy Spirit, to dwell inside of us. Therefore, all those things that we just mentioned dwell inside of us already. And we don't have to beg God for them. We thank Him for them. Amen? I mean, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, let me just give you a real world example. It's kind of like if a thief, you're on your couch, eating your popcorn, watching your favorite movie, whatever that may be. One of mine is The Last Samurai, but anyways. Eating your popcorn, watching your TV, and a thief comes into your house and starts to take your TV. And you walk up to him, and you like, here, take the remote too. Wait, let me wrap that cord around the bottom so you don't trip on it going out of my house. Who in their right mind would do that? Right? We don't do that when a thief comes in. We don't just hand over our goods to him. Then why do you allow the enemy to steal your joy, to steal your health, to steal your finances, to steal your peace, to steal your patience? Why do you allow it? You wouldn't let some common thief take your TV like that. Amen? So since we've been speaking on joy the last 2 weeks, I guarantee that one of the following four things have occurred in your life. I guarantee it. Since we've been speaking on joy. Turn to Mark chapter 4. You're like, guarantee? Now, them pretty strong words. They are. Mark chapter 4. And this will be out of the Amplified. One of these four things have occurred in your life since I've been teaching and talking about joy. Guaranteed. You want to hear what they are? Do y'all know what they are? Verse 14 says, "The sower soweth the word." The word of joy has been sown in your life, has been sown in your heart. If you've been here the last 2 weeks and today, the word of joy has been sown in your heart. Verse 16 said, "And these are the likewise," that's King James. I'm going to read out of King James. "And these are the likewise," did I mess you up? Yep. King James. "And these are the likewise," I done messed myself up. Where am I at? 15. I said 15. I said 16. I'm at 15. "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but a time afterward. When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So as you've heard that word of joy sown in your heart, one of those four things, you've got to put yourself into that category. One, either you heard it and Satan came immediately. He took it out of your heart and you didn't think twice about the word that was shared. You went home and you didn't think about joy anymore that week. You left those doors. In fact, when you walked out that door, joy left you. It left your heart. It left your mind. You didn't think about it again. Second one, you might have been persecuted for it. You're out, "Ooh, I got the joy of the Lord," and you try to share it with someone and they shut the door on you. And you got offended for it and you didn't say anything else about joy that week because you were persecuted for it and you got offended. Some of you went home and the cares of the world started choking it out of you. "Oh, I got to get them steps built. Oh, I got to get that deck power washed. Oh, I got to get that outlet fixed. I got to get the carpet vacuumed." And it tried to choke the word of joy out of you. But some of you, praise God, it fell on the good ground of your heart. And you went forth and you shared that joy. It was received well. You weren't offended by it. You remembered it. You communicated it. You participated in it, celebrated it. Amen? That's the good ground. When the word is sown in your heart and it takes root and it grows and it bears much fruit. Amen? Now, this is an example. I just briefly shared it there. But this is an example of exactly how the enemy's working in your life sometimes. This big shindig for Caleb and graduation, and we had family coming into town from all over the country, and mostly Virginia, not all the country. Little portion and pocket down in Florida came up. So we're getting ready. I'd share, you know, we're getting the house ready. I already told you about building the steps and how the enemy tried to steal my joy there. But man, I'm telling you, last day, right? The last day that I have to get everything ready, I'm vacuuming the house. Nikki's up in Roanoke getting supplies. I'm vacuuming the house, and I've never done this. But I said, I'm going to make it extra special. I'm going to get some of that carpet fresh. I'm going to sprinkle it all over my rug. I'm sprinkling carpet fresh all over my rug. The whole house is smelling good. I'm like, this is going to work. I start vacuuming that carpet fresh up. I get about halfway done and my vacuum just shuts down. It don't work. I don't have two vacuums. Who's got two vacuums in their house? I got a half full of house of white carpet and a half with these perfect lines in it. And I got about 50 people coming to my house the next day. So I said, all right, hey, that's fun. That's cool. I'm going to go out and mow the yard. I'm going to take advantage of this downtime. I'm going to go out and mow the yard. I'm out there mowing my yard. I get halfway done and a torrential downpour comes and just lays about 4 foot of water on my property. I think it was just over my property too, because people in Blacksburg didn't get nothing. So I put the mower away and I can't mow. So I go inside and I'm doing some things. And by that time, mom and dad get there. And then Nikki's brother and his family come in and surprise us early. We didn't know they were coming early. I got a half vacuum carpet. I got a half mowed yard. So I said, all right, I got this beat. It's okay. I'm preaching on joy. I'm not going to lose my joy. Devil, you ain't going to have this moment. I'm going to power wash my patio. Power wash my patio, looking beautiful. I said, well, you know, that looked pretty good. I'm going to go up to my front walkway and power wash it. I move my hose up to the front hose bib, plug it in. I'm power washing my sidewalk, and it's acting weird. It's not enough pressure on that thing, you know. It's brand new power washer. So I get it done, right? I fight through it. Well, I go back inside, and my mother-in-law and who else mentioned it? Kimberly, I think, maybe. Todd, there is water standing in your carpet in the basement. I got 50 people coming to my house tomorrow, and my basement is flooded. The hose that I used on the front yard leaked inside the house, and it was shooting water down into my basement, completely soaked. I'm laughing about all this. But praise God, I didn't lose my joy. He didn't steal this moment from my son. Didn't steal this moment of enjoying my family. Although it was hectic and crazy, we didn't get to sit down and spend a lot of time together. But it turned out marvelous. The weather was wonderful. We were working on getting the water up even now. The vacuum, mom brought her vacuum over and we got that vacuumed up. And the rain let off and my son mowed the yard. The end result, all is well. All is well. Amen. But that's how the enemy works. I'm telling you, this is an important milestone in our lives and Caleb's lives. And the enemy was trying to, and I'm preaching on joy and I'm talking about joy. And he's trying to steal it from me. But he didn't get it. Amen. He didn't get it. Because what does the Bible say? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You'll find that in Hosea. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we know, John 10:10 tells us, who is the destroyer? The enemy, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, angel of death, he is the destroyer. And if we know that, if we know ahead of time, right? What is the, there's a book out, The Art of War. Know Your Enemy. Right? Oh, my favorite movie, The Last Samurai. Oh, this is one of my favorite scenes. The Last Samurai, the guy, Tom Cruise, plays the soldier, right? And he gets captured by the enemy, and it's Japanese samurai. And he comes up to his captor, and he's sitting there reading this guy's journal. The American soldier had kept a journal of just everything, battles and different things that he'd gone through, and it was mainly about the American Indians that he had fought. And so he's reading through this journal, and the guy knows, he says, what are you doing with my journal? He says, I like to know my enemy. He was reading his book. We know all the wiles of the enemy. We know. If you don't, they're right here. They're right here. You can know everything about your enemy. So we gain knowledge and understanding in order to stand against all of his wily ways. Amen? When we know our enemy, we can better defend ourselves. We can better defend ourselves. So if we know that when we get a word from God, we know that the enemy is going to come immediately to steal it out of our heart. We know that. So you protect yourself against that. However that may be, whether you read over it again, whether you meditate on it, whether you confess it out of your mouth, whatever you need to do to not let the enemy steal that out of your heart. We know how he works. So let me say this. All right, if you take two things away, you already got one thing to take away. The second thing that I would think would make the biggest impact on you today: stop blaming everyone else for your misery. Stop blaming everything else for your misery. I had perfect opportunity to say, woe is me. This day is not going to happen the way I wanted it to. Cry, 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 boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Right? But I can't do that because I know what the enemy was trying to do. I know that I was sowing that word. I was speaking that word, and I was sowing to myself. I mean, anybody will tell you that as a teacher or a researcher or a studier, you gain the most when you are preparing to share. So as I was preparing to share about joy, these attacks were coming on me. Amen? But you can't blame anyone else. You can't blame your situation, your circumstances. No one can make you miserable but yourself. Not your kids, your spouse, your boss, your co-workers. Not even the devil can make you miserable. Because we have the victory. But, if you're ignorant to the facts, he can sure make you miserable. Amen? And I don't mean ignorant in a disrespectful way. It just means if you have a lack of knowledge. The Bible just said, we read it, my people perish or are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen? And if you'll let him, he'll steal your joy every single time. Every single time. The fact is, joy, health, prosperity, all these things live on the inside of us. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus. Let me wrap it up with this. Turn to Hebrews. Joy. Joy of the Lord. Somebody's humming it. I love it. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me wrap it up with this. Let me encourage you in the Word. And I think I want to read this out of... Let me read it out of the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 1. We'll just go down to 7. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself, Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. You have not yet struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by Him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom He loves, and He punishes, even scourges, every son whom He accepts and welcomes to His heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? That's part of that pruning process. Pruning things away from our life that would keep us out of the joy of the Lord. That would keep joy from settling on the inside of us and filling us up and bubbling forth out of us. We should have joy bubbling out of us everywhere we go. My sister-in-law is an example of that. Look at her. She's smiling right now. She's the most joyous person I know. Any situation, go, "Oh, honey, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Just smile." That sounded like Joel again, didn't it? Just smile. Oh, glory to God. For the joy of what? What was Jesus looking to when He went to the cross and died for you and me? He was looking to you and to me. That was His joy. That we would have relationship with God again. Through His blood. Through His death. Because of that, we are resurrected to new life. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have access to the most magnificent, powerful being that has ever existed. He created everything that you see. Even those things you can't see. Even those things that those little satellites are whirling out into space and bringing pictures back to us. He created all of that. The most powerful being that ever existed, you have personal relationship with because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And because of that, because He died and sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, joy is inside of you. Joy. Joy. That triumphant state, regardless of your circumstances. Amen? Well, glory to God. I hope that you are encouraged today to know that joy is on the inside of you. That joy is on the inside of you. And that I want you to share that joy. I want you, listen, the Word says that trials are going to come. Persecution is going to come. But I want you to remember the word that joy is inside of you. And when that trial comes, endeavor to be joyous in it. We're going to fail sometimes. We're all human. We do. We struggle sometimes with some things. Some more than others. Some different things than others. Some have victory in areas where others don't. Some have victory in areas that comes very easy to them, but other people struggle in that area. But you have joy inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit, the Holy One living inside of you. Amen? And you are victorious. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even what? Your faith. Your faith. Your faith in the One that died for you. Your faith in the Creator of the universe who loves you This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith and our joy. Amen? Father, I thank you for the word that has been sown today. I believe that it has been sown in hearts, and those hearts are good ground. That seed is going to take root. The enemy, I command you in the name of Jesus, you shall not steal it out of their heart today. They're going to go forth. They're going to produce fruit from it. They're going to prune things out of their lives to make that fruit more beautiful, more of it, better quality. And that fruit is going to be shown to the world. They're going to go forth in the joy of the Lord. And they're going to win lives. They're going to pull lives out of the kingdom of darkness, transfer them into the kingdom of light because of the joy of the Lord in their heart. And as they go throughout the community, in their families, they're going to see the joy, and they're going to see it. It's going to manifest itself on their physical body. And those people are going to want to know what that is. But I say this to you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know this Jesus that I've been talking about, if you do not know the one that died for you, that shed his blood for you, so that you could have an open, loving relationship with God, I invite you today to receive him in your heart. And when you do, when you receive him into your heart, and you confess it out of your mouth that he is your Lord, he is your Savior, he will send his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. And when he sends that Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you, joy will flood your heart. It'll flood your heart. So I challenge you today. One, if you've never made that commitment, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I challenge you to do it today, now. The Bible says today is the day of your salvation. But I challenge you in a second way. Maybe you've not heard the word expressed that way about joy. I challenge you. I challenge you to live joyous in every situation that comes your way this week. And once you do it this week, I challenge you to do it the next week, and the next, and the next, and the next. No matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what circumstances come up against you, no matter what people may say about you, I challenge you to live a life of joy in the midst of it, in spite of it. So, Father, we thank you. And we seal these words to our heart by your Holy Spirit. Let us all do what you called us to do, to be ministers, ministers of reconciliation, reconciling the world unto yourself. Help us in this area. Help us. Show us. Lead and guide us, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Did y'all receive that today? Well, glory to God. I hope that you go full of joy. Remember, it's okay to be happy. But happy relies on those circumstances around you. It's wonderful to be joyous. That doesn't rely on your circumstances. Amen?